Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a great show for you. We're going to talk about pre-emerge corn herbicides. But even if you're not a corn farmer, you will enjoy the show today because a lot of these same herbicide families, or maybe even the same herbicides, can get used in your crops. If you've got any questions for us or if there's anything you'd like to talk about throughout our show today, our number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You can email us, radio@agphd.com, or find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. Well, Darren and I were just out doing some filming today, and boy, it's nice when the sun is actually shining. For us here, it's a warm day. It's about 60 degrees. And depending on where you're at, you might think that's really warm or really cold. I don't know. But all I know is we've got about 11 days until we can plant corn based on the first crop insurance date. We're certainly hoping that we can do that. And so when we think about planting corn, obviously for us as the Weed of the Week guys, we are super concerned about weed control. And I realize there are a lot of other things to talk about in agriculture, and everybody's trying to pick the right hybrid, and, well, let's try this new biological thing, and how about fungicide? Should I use fungicide? What about fertility? And so we get focused on a lot of other things, but let's go back to the basics. The very first thing you got to be thinking about when that corn comes out of the ground is, what is it competing against? And if it's competing against anything other than just simply other corn plants in the field, you're in trouble. So we really encourage you, take a look at pre-emerge corn herbicides. And for that matter, in almost any crop you raise, use a pre-emerge product. That's the way to go if you want to maximize weed control and usually maximize yield.
You know, Brian, we were talking about winter annual weeds here earlier today. And I think about that when we look at these pre-emerges, I get a lot of questions. Hey, I'm going to be putting a herbicide out. What can I add for burn down activity? Or could I just pick a pre-emerge that has a lot of burn down activity on its own? For example, if you're using something like Verdict, where you've got a good strong rate of sharpen in there that you can use in front of corn, that would be a nice way to go. And you're going to do a really good job burning down some of the broadleaf weeds out there. Sharpen doesn't have really any burn down activity on grasses, but on broadleafs, it does a really nice job. If you're throwing some Roundup in there to pick up some of the grasses, you got a pretty good 1-2 mix. When you look at Verdict, though, I would just caution you if you've got some ground that you say, well, hey, I've got corn and soybeans, we're splitting the field, or I'm going to spray one, then I'm going to spray the other, I want to use one product. Verdict is a product that could get used on both, but the rate is completely different. You can only use a half a rate or a 5-ounce rate on soybeans compared to a 10-ounce rate or more on corn. So you have to be really cautious about that if you're going from one crop to the next. But in terms of corn herbicides with burn down activity, that's probably at the top of my list.
Yeah, I would just say this, though. I don't care that much about burn down in corn. Usually we're out there early enough, and burn down in corn is not a real big consideration. Plus, you can always throw dicamba in there if you want to. Dicamba is inexpensive. It's very effective on broadleaf weeds, and that's usually what we're trying to burn down. If you've got any grass weeds you're trying to burn down, Roundup is still the way to go in most cases. Roundup is very effective on most grass species out there. I know everybody's talking about weed resistance with Roundup, but we just don't see that typically with most of the grasses, especially the annual grasses. Okay, so you mentioned Verdict, but you know there are a lot of other pre-emerge herbicides that can be used in corn. We're going to talk about those throughout the show today. One of the biggest questions we get, though, is, well, should I just wait to spray early post and try to get by with one shot? Because I know there's no pre-emerge herbicide where I can just spray one thing and I'm going to be perfectly weed-free in every single field I've got season long. I know that's impossible. But how about if I was to just spray early post? What do you think about that? And our answer is usually this. Yes, you can get by with it, but is that going to maximize yield? In most cases, no. And the reason why is because now you've let some weeds get up, Okay, so they've already hurt your yield a little bit. And then you're spraying a little too early to finish off the last of the weeds. You've got to try to keep that field weed-free until that corn is at least a foot tall. Well, if you get some weeds that are coming in, let's say you're spraying at V2, and already by V5 or V6, you got a whole bunch of weeds that are coming back. Well, those weeds might end up going to seed on you. They may end up hurting your yield as well.
Yeah, it just makes me nervous. I just think about years like last year. Now, granted, it was a really, really extreme year. But when we get rains that just happen to come at the wrong time, that seems to happen almost every year that, oh, I want to get this job done. And then, boom, you get an inch and a half of rain and you can't get back into the field as timely as you want. Or the other thing is wind. A lot of times in the spring, we've got a lot of wind where we farm, and maybe it's a little different where you're at, but when the seasons are changing, oftentimes you do get more winds moving through, and that's when we want to get a lot of the spraying done. So, hey, I've got real small corn. I'm going to come in post-emerge and get things done, and then you get a whole week where it's too windy to spray about the whole week, and now weeds get ahead of you. And what I worry about is, what if you have thick pressure from weeds and there's a lot of leaves out there and they're shading out some small ones underneath, or there's some seeds that are just about to poke through that aren't out yet that you're not going to get good coverage on. And certainly as the season goes on, you get some taller weeds out there, and that creates a whole bunch of other challenges too.
So if nothing else today, first of all, we want you to understand we're trying to hopefully give you some good advice on a number of different herbicides. Secondly, as I say, hey, I really don't like one-shot total post programs. Usually that doesn't pan out the best. I just hope you understand, if you're doing that and it's worked great for you, we're not saying, okay, that's dumb or anything else. You do whatever you think is best for your farm, obviously. But what we have typically seen as agronomists who work with farmers all over the world, and we've been agronomists for about 30 years now, Darren and myself, we can just tell you, if you split apply it, that's our number one preference. Whenever we split apply, you have a pre and then you have a post, you just have a lot better chance for overall higher yields, overall better weed control, and ultimately higher profits.
Talking about pre-emerge corn herbicides today, and also taking your calls and agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy Two Save Three are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run vans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at stepsgms.com.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
The corn we planted early February have all good emergence. So far, we can't find any condition that the wheels haven't worked. I can just say that.
Closing the seed trench behind the planter is essential to establishing yields in the fall. Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG. Designed and built by a farmer who is tired of seeing poor stands because of uneven emergence, the Germinator is here to give your crop the strong start it needs for maximum yield. For more information, visit us at farmshopmfg.com.
Back, you're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, and our topic is corn pre-emerge herbicides. Our phone lines are open throughout the show today. If you would like to call with a question or a comment or just be part of the discussion, that number is 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us, radio@agphd.com. Start over in Iowa right now. We've got Zach Trower with us right now, and he works with Syngenta. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, this corn pre-emerge space is interesting. There's a lot of different products out there. We're seeing so many combination products. Farmers are hearing new names and curious about, oh, man, okay, what are the ingredients in there? Am I familiar with this? And is it significantly different than somebody else's combination product? And it gets to be kind of a fun discussion. I look at some of the products that Syngenta has, and you've got some really popular products in this pre-emerge corn herbicide space. Oftentimes, we are looking at combination products. What are some of the ones you're going to see be on more acres this year?
Yeah, so when we look at, again, these combination products, as you mentioned, you know, our flagship one is obviously Acuron and Acuron Flexi. And, you know, what we did with those products is we took the good old products of Lexar EZ and Lumax EZ, and those are actually still around the countryside, and we see growers utilizing those, which have three modes of action in them. But what differentiates Acuron is we added a fourth active ingredient in there, and that's that bicyclopyrone ingredient. And what that's given us is a lot more spectrum of control. So we get more large-seeded broadleaves, but also we get enhanced burn down. And, you know, a few weeds that I've heard a lot about lately, and even in Iowa this has been shocking, but we're actually hearing a little bit about kochia, which is something you guys are very familiar with. But also mare's tail is becoming a bigger issue, and that's what bicyclopyrone really brings a lot of activity on, as well as water hemp and giant ragweed and some of those other more common driver species we see.
Now you're speaking my language, Zach. A little kochia and mare's tail already to start our show off today. That's fun. I look at all the weeds that are out there from last fall that got a start. We were just over by one of our neighbors who wasn't able to get out and do fall tillage. Just conditions weren't fit and didn't get stuff harvested in time to do those things. And I was thinking about that. There's some weeds that they're probably going to have to face in that no-till situation where they're in right now that they haven't been. And so we think about with the herbicides, how do you do that? So I've got corn stalks out there, didn't get them worked in, but I want to do some tillage. I would say you'd want to do that tillage first, correct? And then come back in and put the Acuron on later?
You know, if let's focus on the big one, right? Mare's tail kochia. You know, generally, if they're going to go out there and say they're going to work the stalks, maybe they're just going to like a turbo till. Personally, I like to kill my weeds. I like to do a burn down pass before that turbo till. And the reason is a damaged weed that's not fully dead is extremely hard to kill. And this has actually been a very common issue. I'm glad you brought it up. So, you know, if you can get out there and burn down those weeds before we do some of these stalk, you know, we work in some of these stalks, utilizing maybe a product like Gramoxone or 2,4-D early. And then again, coming back and trying to get our pre-emergence herbicide down as close as possible to planting. Now, if you're only going to do one pass, yes, you could work the stalks, but just kind of expect that after we damage those mare's tail, those kochia, they're going to be a little tougher to kill, and we're going to need a really potent product, say Acuron, to really try to get as much active ingredient to try to kill those things, because they can become really tough after we damage them.
They sure can, and they're already starting to get a little bit of size to them this spring, so it's going to be a treat out there, no doubt about that. All right, Zach, one last question for you. We're hearing a lot of guys talking about split treatments, using a partial rate up front, using another partial rate after the corn has started to emerge. What do you think about that, and what are you recommending?
Yeah, so that's hands down one of the best ways to manage weeds is a two-pass program. You know, what I look at with the pre is we have to start off on a strong foot, make sure it's a good stout pre. It's got built-in residual, again, built-in residual and built-in knockdown. We need that combination. So, again, I look at an Acuron, Acuron Flexi, you know, maybe even a Lexar EZ, Lumax EZ type product as a foundation rate. But then coming back with, you know, you can either split apply Acuron, so you could do a half rate up front, half rate post. Or you could come back with like a Halix GT type product, which many growers are very familiar with. Just make sure that when you're laying that foundation rate down, that pre, is we're using a good stout rate of pre. We need we need to ensure that we hold those weeds back the best we can, so that when we're not, so we're not putting too much pressure on that post trip.
Excellent stuff there. Talking with Zach Trower in Iowa. He works with Syngenta. Really good tips here on corn pre-herbicide. Zach, thank you so much, and good luck here. I know it's going to get busy coming up.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good season, guys.
You bet. You as well. Let's bring on Dan Waldstein here with BASF. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, good to be with you today.
All right. I was talking about Verdict a little bit earlier, and we've got a grower that's got a question about Verdict. Is it okay if I bring him on at this point, too?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I've got John with us right now in Kentucky. John, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Hey, I understand. Okay, you've been using some Verdict, and talk about what you were discussing here about planting on the same day with Verdict, and we've got Dan Waldstein on with BASF right now, too.
You were talking about a half rate a while ago with another individual. That 5 ounce rate, you can follow the sprayer with the planter on a 5 ounce rate. And if you want to wait a week, you can use more than 5 ounces. And Verdict is a great product, firm believer in it. We've been using it for about 5 years on resistant Maristail, great results. And
now, John, are you talking about soybeans or corn?
On the soybeans.
Yeah. Okay.
5 ounces on the soybeans. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. And, I was going to say corn, you can go with a higher rate than that. And I think that's, okay.
Yep.
All right, so.
Yep. But on the soybeans, if you're going to follow the sprayer with the planter, 5 ounces. But if you're going to be a few days, go ahead and put more and take out your wheat.
Yep. So, Dan, just talk to us about that. How long would we have to wait if, let's say, we went 10 ounces of Verdict and we wanted to plant soybeans?
Yeah, so typically that's going to be a 30-day interval. Some guys will split the difference and go like 7.5 head of beans, and that's like a 2-week, a 14-day type situation. So, yeah, we do occasionally get that with some of the guys that want to run. We don't get a lot of corn below 10 ounces, but there is the flexibility if a guy doesn't know exactly what he's going to plant. Hopefully by then he would, but if you did a lower rate, you could switch back and forth.
Yep.
If you needed to, as long as you observe that interval.
Yep, sounds good. John, did you have anything else for us? You just wanted to comment on how well that works in soybeans?
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, it's just great product.
You bet. Yeah, thanks for the call, John.
We're using it on resistant Maristail. And great product.
Yep. All right. We're with you. All right. Thanks, John. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. All right. So, Dan, let's finish up on Verdict. And then if you wouldn't mind, we're going to take a quick commercial break in about a little over a minute or so. And then we'll just have you stay on with us. But let's just to finish up on Verdict, since it can be used in soybeans and corn, do you want to talk just a little bit more about that product? Darren mentioned burn down, and so did John. But it also has good residual control if you use the right rate.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got sharpened chemistry in there. Every 5 ounces of Verdict has an ounce of sharpen. So your 10-ounce kind of low rate for corn typically would be 2 ounces of sharpen. But then it also has the outlook chemistry sharpen at a higher rate. Once you get 2 or 3 ounces, you're getting into a residual rate. And so 10 ounces and above for Verdict. But the outlook also gives you grass and small seeded residual control as well. So but you're right, you do get the knockdown or the burn down and sharpen, and then you get residual from both of the chemistries there, at least on broadleaf weeds.
Yeah, with Verdict, the thing that we like is just, you mentioned the outlook, the Group 15. It's really that sharpen component that's the big thing for us. It's a little bit different than a lot of the other products we're using in corn because it's a PPO, and it has pretty decent residual if you get that rate up a little bit. So John was talking about, okay, if I wanted to plant beans and I'm going to do it the same day and all that, I got to go 5 ounces. Only gives me an ounce of sharpen. That's not a tremendous amount for residual. Good burn down or okay burn down, but not a lot of residual. Well, hang on for us, Dan. We want to talk just a little bit more about some of your products with BASF right after this.
Avoid dry run failures with the new Hypro Force Field pump. Providing the ultimate protection, this wet seal pump will save you on costly in-season downtime to keep your sprayer running. Now all you have to worry about is the weather. Hypro, helping you spray better.
How much yield did you lose the moment you planted your seed? Introducing the Germinator Closing Wheel from Farm Shop MFG. Designed and built by a farmer tired of seeing yield loss from poor stands, the Germinator gives your crop the strong start it needs for maximum yield. Visit farmshopmfg.com.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer Amaranth or Water Hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Before it's too late and white mold becomes a problem, you need to ask your seed dealer for Heads Up Seed Treatment. When raising soybeans in the Midwest, you know the risk of being caught unprepared. As heard on AgPHD, there are several steps you can take prior to planting for a successful management plan against white mold. Compatible and cost-effective season-long protection starts now by asking your seed dealer to apply Heads Up to your 2020 bean seed order. For more information, visit headsupst.com.
Revitech fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide, brand new chemistry, three no-excuse modes of action, zero modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitech fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
When it comes to my weed control, I know a head start can go a long way. That's why I spray early, so I can keep control all season long with a Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system that makes the difference. This is my field.
Choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system for control of more weeds than any other soybean system. Featuring Extendamax herbicide with vapor grip technology to manage tough-to-control weeds, including up to 14 days of soil activity, along with the field-proven performance of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Now you have the right tools to extend your weed control and extend your yield with the system that makes the difference. Learn how you can put the system to work in your field when you visit RoundupReadyExtend.com. Extendamax is a restricted-use pesticide. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Check local regulations for specific requirements in your state.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're talking about pre-emerge corn herbicides, and it's interesting, our first caller that we get on here, our first farmer that called in, said, hey, we can also use Verdict on the soybeans, and here's what I'm doing. And he's absolutely right. And that's the thing that you'll find. A lot of the active ingredients that we're using in corn could potentially be used in other crops. Real happy to have Dan Waldstein on with us with BASF. Thanks for holding on through the break, Dan.
Sure.
All right. You know, we're talking about that, and I think about group 15s as being a core to a lot of the things that we're doing pre-emerge on corn. We are starting to use those on soybeans as well, so we're seeing this chemistry being versatile and pretty valuable. What are some of the other pre-emerge herbicide products you like to talk about? We jumped in with Verdict, but there's some other ones you'd like to mention as well.
Yeah, so we have the Zidua product as well. That's been around for a few years now. We typically talk a lot about that in soybeans, but we're seeing more use in corn as well. And so on corn, we can go pre all the way up to V4 post, and we're hoping to actually get an extension on that here sometime before too long to be able to go a little bit later, because we have a lot of guys that like to use Zidua and Status together. But that would be a product they could use pre or post in corn as well.
So, Dan, one thing about that, we've had a lot of people looking at the difference between Zidua and some of the other group 15s, and what keeps coming back to us is just that it hangs around longer in really wet conditions. Like, take a year like last year, for example, super wet, that Zidua was a pretty good choice last year because the residual seemed to last a little longer, and like I say, it kind of hung in there longer than many of the other group 15s. Is that what you've seen in your research as well?
Yeah, that's a good observation, Brian. So one of the reasons why Zidua is different from some of the other group 15s, it's fairly low water solubility, but it also has low soil binding. And so if you look at some of the other group 15s like Outlook and Dual and some of those other products, it's really got a unique chemistry in terms of how it interacts in the soil. And so I think some of those characteristics really help it stay in the soil, especially when we get high rainfall conditions.
All right, Dan, anything else you got for us today?
Those are kind of the main ones there. I mean, Armazon Pro is an early post product, but we can apply it pre. It's really a convenience application, but we would recommend that as an early post product.
Yeah, so getting the active ingredients that would be found in Outlook and Armazon, the HPPD.
That's right.
All right. Well, again, we've been talking to Dan Waldstein. He is with BSF. Dan, thanks a lot for the time today. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Let's head out to Ohio. We've got Mark Laux with us right now with Ohio State. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You know, we were talking about this earlier in the show a little bit that last fall, well, in some areas, guys were able to get tillage done. In other areas, they're unexpected no-tillers this spring. They've got some unusual weeds out there. What are you seeing for weeds that growers are going to have heading into corn this year? Anything unusual or anything becoming more prevalent?
I think, well, we've been warm here. I don't know about you all. So, I mean, we're hearing from our county educators and people that we have a banner crop of chickweed and some other things out there right now. I just mowed my lawn for the first time in March ever, so that kind of gives you an indication of what it's been like. I don't know that we have anything new or different. It's sort of just relative how much we have from year to year. So, you know, one of the things that drove fall applications was just getting this big dense mat of stuff in the spring you couldn't deal with, you know, balled up in their tillage equipment and things. And so I think moved away from fall applications a little bit, and some of those populations have crept back up. So they're definitely out there, and I think it's going to be a big year for them, sure.
You know, when we look at a lot of the pre-emerge treatments that farmers are putting out there, they're trying to get some residual, trying to get a window of time where they don't have to fight weeds out in their crops. And we're seeing a lot of group 15s used. We're seeing more HPPDs moved into this space. What's been the impact in your state? Are you seeing those products being effective?
Yeah, so sure. You know, you start to get into those three ways, and then in some of the cases you have three ways where you put atrazine with them, you know, Resicor, Lexar, Acuron. I think we've been a big Lexar state, you know. So the mesotrione, when you look at those standard atrazine premixes, Bicep or whatever, and you add mesotrione to those, you just get a product that's much more versatile. The burn down out of that actually is really good. Most of the time we put a three-way like that on, we don't need really anything else with it. You know, and then you go to something like Resicor that has a clopyrrolid in it also. So just a lot of good products, you know. And then you also have, you know, generic. You have products that have come off patent, and so you have cheaper, so people can make their own, you know, versions of that for even cheaper sometimes. So a lot of really great starts. And when you start looking at water hemp, giant ragweed, even mare's tail, which occasionally shows up in season in conventional till corn, you know, you have a great start with a lot of those.
You know, there seems to be a lot of switching with farmers. They move from one product to the other depending on pricing and rebate programs and tie-ins and so forth. Do you see crop safety being an issue at all, or are most of these products working out pretty well?
I think they're working out pretty well. We've had really trouble banging up corn in our research trials and most of it, and I don't really hear much. I think when you get to something like when you get to early post applications, in some case you're more likely to see it. I think historically in no-till, if you add some 2,4-D to one of those and you put it on after planting and sort of ignore the restriction there, you have some issues. But I mean, once you get to early post, you know, that I missed the pre, or I'm going to go early post with a whole slug of it and take out the first flush with the things that are really small, you have to start to be more cautious about adjuvants. Historically, we saw a little bit of an issue, I think, with Corvus at times in that situation. But really, I think there's a lot of safety there.
When I look at a lot of these pre-applications, another thing we like to do on our farm, and we talk to quite a few growers that are doing this now, is putting out fertilizer at the same time, whether it's liquid or dry, applying fertilizer and herbicide together. How do you see that working? Are there any watch-outs you'd give for growers?
Well, in a no-till, you have to start to wonder a little bit about, like, if I'm putting glyphosate in there and I'm applying in 28 and I'm doing the whole thing, you depending on how much help you're getting from the pre-corn herbicides, you might be fine. And then if you get into a hairier situation when you really need the glyphosate to do its thing, you know, you might just start to see some antagonism. It's not ideal for glyphosate to go out. In a conventional till, I think it comes back to, especially in the liquid mixing, just, you know, making sure you have experience doing that and you're doing the right thing to test before you load a whole batch and have to shovel something out of the tank, right? So just that's an issue. The dry is a little bit different. I mean, you have to worry about, you know, I think getting it mixed with a dry, and then you're talking about a different type of application. I'm not sure we have a lot of herbicide here going on in the dry right now, frankly.
Yeah, I think that's been changing. That's definitely something that in certain areas is popular and others has kind of gone away. The other thing is just the idea of I'm going to lay stuff on the top and I'm not tilling it in. Obviously, we've got lots of no-tillers out there, but we've also got cover crop guys. Do you see any differences when you've got a cover crop out there just trying to get good coverage or getting the products to wash off that residue?
I think you want to sort of be on the early side. I mean, I'm always amazed how well they work, really. We've done a lot of stuff in our research, you know, with rye, you know, and it's got fairly good size to it. And I think the residuals work, and we've been able to see differences in rate in that situation and a more comprehensive program being more effective. So obviously sort of something's going on. But, I mean, that's the situation where if you like to kill your cover late and do all that really late, you're going to have to weigh more issues than if you're doing that relatively early or, you know, killing the cover and coming back fairly early, I think.
Yeah, there's always a lot of changes. This cover crop thing has certainly added to the dynamic here, right? I have a lot of growers say, boy, my weed control is so much better because the cover shaded things out, so I didn't have all those winter annuals come through. And then, of course, you got all that material to deal with in the spring. For some growers, they say, no problem, I know how to do it. Others, I think they need a little experience, like you were just talking about. Just putting stuff out a little earlier gives you a little more window to get some rain and get things into the ground. Been talking with Mark Laux with Ohio State. Mark, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us again, and good luck here going into the spring.
Thank you.
We're talking about pre-emerge corn herbicides on our show today. Also taking your calls and agronomic questions. Our phone lines will be open throughout the show today at 844-442-4743. That's 844-44-AG-PHD. You can email us radio@agphd.com or find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Brian Hefty or Darren Hefty. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic insecticides from Atticus LLC. Unwanted insects are a nuisance, but they're no match for Serpent from Atticus. Serpent delivers economical, fast-acting, broad-spectrum control to help your corn, soybeans, and wheat crops thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit atticusllc.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
High-yield corn growers know that feeding the crop and soil are keys to maximizing yield potential. Nutex EDA and Reverb are specifically formulated to help manage limiting factors associated with today's farming conditions. Nutex EDA works within the plant to support nutrient mobility and utilization. Reverb focuses on the soil, providing beneficial trace elements which help condition the root zone for optimal microbial activity. Low use rates and superb tank mix compatibility make Nutex EDA and Reverb no-brainers in the high-yield grower toolbox.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean fields, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth. Take control of your soybean fields and get incentives from Bayer Plus Rewards when you choose the power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
You're all set with the 4x4 turbo diesel truck. How about some options? Spray and bed liner?
Absolutely.
Tailgate step and Nerf bars?
Gotta have them.
Tie down hooks and stainless steel toolbox?
You know it.
Tinted windows?
Of course.
Options are good. That's as true in the field as it is with your pickup. In addition to taking care of tough weeds, new Open Sky herbicide gives you more rotational choices than ever before and an easy-to-handle formulation. Gooseneck tow package?
Yep.
Discover more Open Sky details at openskyherbicide.com.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here along with my brother Darren. We're live in the Morton studio today. Love to take your phone call if you got any questions for us. 844-44-AG-PHD. We're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag in just a minute. Before we do, to kind of wrap things up on pre-emerge corn herbicides, we get a lot of questions about how can I put these products on. Fortunately, most of the pre-corn herbicides can actually be used early post. If worse comes to worse and you don't get it on pre, you can put it on very early post. Verdict certainly would be an exception to that because of the Sharpen that's in there. Sharpen can't be used early post. But anyway, most of the rest of them can be used early post. In terms of how you make that work best, believe it or not, we actually really like incorporation. I realize most agronomists, most of the chem manufacturers aren't going to recommend incorporation, and here's why they don't. What they worry about is that you're going to bury the herbicide. Keep in mind that most of these herbicides are shoot inhibitors. Okay, so in other words, it's going to go into and affect the shoot of that weed. Where is the shoot of the weed? Well, it's above the seed. And how deep is the seed germinating? A lot of times half an inch to an inch deep. So if you've got a weed, it's germinating at a half an inch or an inch deep, that means you need the herbicide half an inch or an inch deep. We want that herbicide right there at the seed when it's germinating for the very best results. How do you get that? Well, I really like incorporation, very light incorporation. I'm not saying you have to incorporate, but I am saying if you want to incorporate, I love it. We do it on our farm a lot, works fantastically well. Just go really shallow, go fast. So one of the things we've told people a lot over the years too is, let's just say you're using a field cultivator, and a lot of people will go, well, I got to run deep enough to cover my wheel tracks. And I say, no, you don't. Put extensions on behind where your wheels are going to be. If you simply do that and run those shanks just a little bit lower, now you can run the rest of the machine higher. You just need very light incorporation. Okay, and as long as you do that, as long as you're going super fast through the field, you should have no problems. It should work exceptionally well. Next, if it was me, I would put it on real early. So on our farm here in March, we sprayed out most of our pre-emerge herbicides, and we won't plant an acre of corn until at least April 10th. And you go, well, wait a second, you're putting the stuff out 2 to 4 weeks before you're going to even plant the seed? Yes, we are, because our ground has been frozen. I mean, it just thawed out the other day, and it's cold here. We aren't going to lose that herbicide. Most of these herbicides, there's no risk for losing it early. And you think about what breaks it down in the soil. Two things, bacteria and weed growth. Well, we have no weeds germinating right now, and we have no bacteria that are active or hardly active when the soil temp is 35 degrees or maybe 40. So we don't have a lot of risk that way. The advantage to getting it out real early is we have more time to get it rained in. Because as much as many of these chemical companies are going to tell you, oh, our product works on with half an inch of rain, and the next company says, well, our product works with a quarter inch of rain. That's all nonsense, okay? You need 2 or 3 inches of rain if you want it to work 100%. Not 98, not 99, but 100%. You need 2 or 3 inches. Well, if you're spraying it after you've planted and the weeds are already starting to come up, many of these products are pretty ineffective on weeds that are already emerging. So you've missed out on some of those. And you got to get rain like right now, because literally every day more weeds are germinating. Well, are you going to get 2 or 3 inches of rain super fast? No. And if you did, I don't know that I'd want to spray the herbicide and have it right there with a tremendous concentration when you just planted the corn anyway. My point is, method one, how I prefer to see pre-emerge herbicides used, is pre-plant incorporated. Method two, early pre-emerge. Method three is after I've planted the corn and before the weeds emerge, and that's where we see most people spray the herbicide. So yes, you can do it, and yes, it will work in a lot of situations, but if you want it to work all the time, that's where we like seeing the other couple of methods. All right, let's get to the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's now mailbag time with Brian and Darren.
Got a couple questions here from Ryan, and the first one, I just got to make sure we're speaking about the same thing here, but he says, do you have a video on surface water versus deep watering? I'd like to know if drip surface irrigation is better than deep watering. You know, I guess I don't really understand the terminology necessarily, but it was following some drip irrigation stuff that we were talking about. We're putting the drip tape down, how deep? 18 inches, something like that. And if doing a shallow watering like that is better than soaking and getting the water deeper in the profile, is that the idea?
Yes, that's what he's after.
Okay.
So it all depends on what crop it is, what soil type you have. I mean, there are a lot of factors there. So we can't necessarily just answer this question and say, well, in all cases, this one is better. The number one reason why a lot of people do the subsurface drip irrigation, and yeah, Darren mentioned 18 inches, but there's a lot of stuff put in at 10, 12, 14 inches deep, whatever it is. The point is, now all that water is below ground, and you have a lot less risk of loss due to evaporation. So when you've got where basically your root zone wet, that's great for water to get absorbed by the roots, but it's also great for having nutrients be solubilized and be in that water that's going to go into the plant. So that's all good. The advantage, obviously, to the surface drip tape is, well, now you can lay it out, you can roll it back up pretty easily. I mean, yes, it takes work. I get that. The subsurface stuff, a lot of times, the people we've talked to, it's lasting 15 to 20 years, but, you know, it all depends on your situation, rodents, that kind of thing. So, I don't know exactly what to tell you here. We don't have a specific video on the difference between laying it on the soil surface versus putting it down into the soil, but those are just some of the key differences that we see.
All right, Ryan also had another one, and this one could create a little discussion here. He said, I would love to see...
almost every question
could create a little discussion. I would love to see you do an experimental small land plot test. No tillage, no herbicide, wood chips after harvest, or have Ag PhD work with their green waste management to get their composted waste. Yes, there'd be some fuel costs there, but I'm curious if the living earth benefit will provide more yield.
No. Not a chance in the world. So that's the way people used to farm. Doesn't work that way. I'm just
picking apart each thing. So no tillage, absolutely fine. There's no question you can do no tillage. The problem with no tillage and no herbicide is oftentimes, at least as you're starting into that no-till program, you've got all kinds of different weeds popping up, and it ends up being more herbicide use because you can't do tillage out there. But it's something maybe long-term could work, and especially if you're using a cover crop.
No, however, that's the way we used to farm for, I mean, thousands and thousands of years. Doesn't work.
No. The cover crop thing could help that. Could help that part. But the wood chips after harvest, Ryan, there is zero chance I am ever going to want to put wood chips in my field again. We've used some wood chips in the past, and it takes forever to break those down.
It just ties up a lot of the nitrogen.
They tie up nitrogen, and it really makes it a challenge to grow crops out there after wood chips. So that's one, and I'll probably get some emails about that. Hey, here's a way you could do it. If so, great, because that's a problem that is pretty tough. And then as far as using compost, we are using compost. We love using compost. I think that's a great thing. So I'm with you on that. We do a lot of compost use. We use a lot of manure on our ground. So we're trying to do those things as best we can. And yes, herbicides are a last resort for us. Unfortunately, every year there's going to be something that breaks through. But yeah, we're trying to use them as little as possible, but we do need them.
Now, I understand where a lot of this comes from. It's from the people out there that want to tell you that all pesticides are ridiculously dangerous and it's going to poison the food supply, and that's all nonsense. A lot of the pesticides that get used today are actually derived from natural products. The HPPDs we've been talking about throughout the show today that could be used pre or post in corn, for example, they came from a tree. The most popular insecticide family in the world, the pyrethroids, came from a flower. And I could go on. I mean, the best fungicides came from wood rotting fungus.
Wood rotting fungi. Yep.
So, I mean, here's the thing that we know. If a plant's under stress, it's going to be much more likely to be less healthy for you. It's going to produce more natural carcinogens internally, and that's not a good thing. So I understand where you're going with all this, but no, modern farming is still the best, and I'll take that hands down every single day.
Get to more of your questions coming up right after this.
Challenging field conditions often make harvest difficult. Can your corn head handle it? The GTS X10 corn head from Agra US is a rugged, cost-effective alternative to heavier, more traditional heads. Constructed of durable yet lightweight aluminum, the X10 puts less strain on your combine without losing harvest effectiveness. And it is 40% lighter than traditional heads, reducing field compaction in those less than ideal conditions. For more information, give us a call at 833-4-AGRA US.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior in our farm the fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at soilwarrior.com.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whenever you want, farm your way with Case IH AFS Connect. Now you can farm, share data, and manage your fleet however, whenever, and wherever you want. Learn more at caseih.com/farmyourway.
Hey, Adam. New drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree.
In the power lines! Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag time, where we take your calls and agronomic questions. You can give us a phone call, 844-44-AG-PHD. You can send us an email, radio@agphd.com, or send us a tweet. You can find us at Ag PhD Media, Brian Hefty or Darren Hefty. Got an email here. This comes from Jeff in Arkansas. He said, at what high levels does magnesium tie up phosphorus? I've got two different fields we're looking to put corn into this season. The mag levels are high, phosphorus levels low. Field one, I've got a 6.2 pH, heavy soil, 25 CEC. I've got magnesium at 932 parts per million and phosphorus on a Malic test only at 27 parts per million. The next field, maybe even tougher, 5.8 pH, 31 CEC, so that's heavy ground, 941 parts per million of mag and only 15 parts per million of phosphorus.
Okay, so let's go back to Mulder's chart. And this is something you might have picked up in college. We occasionally talk about it at Ag PhD at our soils clinics. When you look at Mulder's chart, it basically shows interaction from one nutrient to another. Magnesium and phosphorus have a synergistic effect. In other words, if you have more magnesium, that actually helps your phosphorus and vice versa. So it's not antagonistic. So I would, number one, stop worrying about that. Number two, what I would do is I would take a look at your base saturation also, because, well, you mentioned the parts per million. What I am more interested in is how am I doing on base saturation? We've got to get that magnesium down a ways on the base saturation test to have more availability of nitrogen and less tie up with things like potassium, for example. So when I look at this, no, I'm not worried about your phosphorus at all in terms of tie up. Now, yes, it's low, so you got to put a whole slug on, but that's not that tough to do. Just apply a bunch of phosphorus and you're in pretty good shape. Along with that, make sure you keep your zinc relatively in ratio. We like to see those two at about a 10-to-1 ratio approximately. So in other words, if you're going to get your phosphorus up to, say, 150 pounds per acre, we would like to see your zinc at roughly 15 pounds per acre approximately. Anyway, when we talk about that base saturation, your biggest issue, like on that 31 CEC and the 5.8 pH, I mean, other than obviously you want to raise the pH a little bit for corn or soybeans, it's really the potassium. You're at 2.8% base saturation K. That's too low. I would assume in those fields you're having issues with standability, with some green snap. I mean, in corn I'm talking here, and your soybean yields aren't tremendous. You've got to get more potassium out there. Looks to me like with your boron at 0.7 parts per million, that's real low as well. And I think you fix those things. So it's not that tough. Just add some, you got to get some lime out there, get some phosphorus, a little bit of zinc, some potassium, some boron. You should be in pretty good shape.
The other question he had is just about a humic acid product, if you've seen that help at all with nutrient availability.
We like humic acids more when we've got issues in the soil. So, for example, when you have a 31 CEC, yes, we do. When you have, okay, so I got some things I don't like. pH is too low, number one. The cation exchange capacity is pretty high, so it takes a while for the nutrients to sometimes get released. Sometimes that soil might be a little colder. It's heavy. I mean, granted, in Arkansas, it's a different deal than what we deal with up here. But we have seen a little bit better performance with the humic acid in that. The magnesium is way too high, so humic acid, yes, it probably could help. I would be willing to try some if it was my farm.
All right. Thanks for the questions, Jeff. Really appreciate that. Got an email that just came in from Brandon in South Central Minnesota. Said, I'm wondering when the best time to take soil samples for soybean cyst nematode is. Would you take that at the same time as you'd sample for nutrients? I don't seem to have a problem out here. I haven't noticed a problem with disease or with SCN, that's nematodes, in the past. But I'm considering using a treatment of Saltro on my seed, which does have some protection against both sudden death syndrome and nematodes. Last year, we averaged about 76 bushel soybeans on the farm. Just wondering what your thoughts are. Hey, Brandon, thanks for the question. We really appreciate that. And you're right, Saltro, for those of you who haven't heard about that, is another SDHI chemistry that's come out that can be used as a seed treatment. It's going to compete against Elevo that's already been out on the market for a number of years, which does a really nice job preventing sudden death syndrome and also does have a little bit of an impact on soybean cyst nematodes. The thing I like about the Saltro is you have less phytotoxicity to the plant than what we're seeing with Elevo. We do see that halo effect or kind of a burning on the edges of the cotyledon leaves with Elevo. But Saltery, don't see that. So I do like that. I guess we'll see how it performs in terms of yield, but a lot of the data looks pretty nice on Saltra. So it's a product that you may consider using. It just isn't cheap. That's the problem with the Olivo and the Saltro.
Complain about that with almost everything, though, Darren?
Well, think about it, though, Brian. If Saltro and Olivo cost $2, I bet they'd go on 60% of the soybean seed in the country.
Yeah.
But when they cost $15, and you can check with your dealer, maybe they're 10, maybe they're 20, depending on where you're at and who you're getting it through. But let's just use a round number of $15 for that strong enough rate to help with the nematodes. Well, if you're spending $15, boy,
I want to double my return on investment.
Yeah, I got to know that I have a problem. And cyst nematode a lot of times shows up in pockets in the field, and so does sudden death syndrome. We don't normally see those two problems like blanket across the whole field evenly. So you have to kind of use your best judgment of, well, does this field have more areas that are impacted than not? And if so, then I think it's a great return on investment. But if you're getting 76 bushel average beans and you don't think you have any issue at all, I don't know if I'd spend the money. I think I'd maybe do it on just a few units of seed and put them through where any area where the yield went down in previous years and target those spots and see if you get a response.
Yes. We're not real big on just treating everything across the board, even though they keep saying, and by they, I mean universities, extension people, talk a lot about, hey, cyst nematode is out there on a crazy amount of soybean acres in the United States. Yet we, even though supposedly are losing all this yield, go out there with what we think are good treatments, and it just doesn't seem to make a big impact. So, yeah, try it on a few acres. Don't get too carried away.
All right. Thank you for the questions. Really appreciate that, Brandon. Got two questions here from Shira. She says, what is the depth of corn plant roots? How deep will they get by the time corn plants are fully mature?
Feet. Many, many feet if you don't have ridiculous amounts of compaction.
Yep. It depends on the soils that you're growing in, but it's not uncommon for us to find corn roots down 8 feet deep if you want to keep digging. But most of that root mass is going to be in the top 6 or 12 inches. You'll see a huge percentage of the mass up there, but you'll see some pretty substantial roots down 4 or 5 feet deep as well if you have no restrictions in your soil.
For sure.
Thanks for the questions. Got this from Jim, and he said, I'm in Western Pennsylvania. My question is liquid calcium as good as using a dry ag lime?
Well, we're talking two different things. I mean, you're not going to put on a ton of liquid calcium. That would cost you a fortune. So if you want to fix the entire soil, your best bet is always going to be some form of lime. Now, we can say ag lime, but there's also water treatment lime that we get, lots of different lime sources out there, sugar beet lime, you name it. When it comes to the liquid calcium, this is what a lot of people are doing if, let's say, it's rented ground and they don't want to fix anything long term, or they can't work something out with a landlord on a long term lease. Let's say that they have a severe problem with the pH. They just picked up new ground and they realize, oh, I have a 4.2 pH. Well, that's horrible. I still want to plant corn or beans. So they'll put a little treatment on the seed. They'll put some in furrow. They might do some kind of band with a strip till machine. I mean, yes, we are all in favor of a little bit of liquid calcium being used that way. But we're just, like I say, talking two different things between that and ag lime.
All right, thanks for the question. I got one from Antron here. He said, I've heard the Hefty Brothers mention TJ Quick Grits in the past, but can't seem to find a website. Do you know the website or a current manufacturer? Well, the challenge with that is that TJ sold it out to Novozymes. It's now being marketed by the Bayer Group. So you can go to Acceleron.
Wait, they didn't sell it out to... He didn't say, it wasn't Novozymes, was it?
Yeah, that Novozymes bought it, and then they licensed it to Monsanto.
To Monsanto BioAg?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So
okay. I thought it was right to Monsanto.
So go to the website, AccelleronSAS.com. That's AccelleronSAS for Seed Applied Solutions.com. And you can search for Quick Roots there, or just Google search for Quick Roots. Just take the TJ off, and you will find it. Thanks for the question, and thanks for catching that. Yeah, it's a good product. We used it for many years. Thanks for listening to our program today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.